بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. Everything depends entirely on Allah Ta'ala for its existence and continuity. All that man will do is make up something. And when he makes up something, then he's already got the elements, and the elements are put together, and he makes up something, he constructs something. And Allah Ta'ala creates. That means from non-existence to existence. Take ourselves and all that are sitting here. Say, 70 years ago, there was nobody here. 71 years ago, there was nobody. Right? Then, in His Qudrat, and His might and glory, He gave us existence. So we were nowhere, and then He brought us into existence from nothing. Now, unlike every other constructor, when he constructs and he puts the elements together, then he's disconnected himself from the thing that he has made. So Allah Ta'ala gives it existence, and thereafter he's got a connection and a relationship with that. Because of that relationship, the thing continues. It is sustained because of this relationship. And the moment Allah Ta'ala disconnects himself, then there is no existence. Absolutely. You've gone to oblivion. Nothing. You were nothing, now you're nothing. So, at one level, everything is connected to Allah Ta'ala. At the level of existence. Wujud, right? At that level, everything is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is a kafir, whether it is a Muslim, whether it is whatever, whether it is the sun, whether it is the earth, whether it is the moon, then at what level everything is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise it will cease to exist. Then, at the second level, then it's a relationship of peace. The person had made peace with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so he is in peace, not in pieces, because he had made peace with Allah Ta'ala, so he is in peace. So that is now the entry level of a mu'min. He has kept the relationship as the relationship of peace. Who is listening to Allah Ta'ala, he is not flouting the commands, not breaking, he is not disregarding the commands of Allah Ta'ala, so he enjoys a peaceful relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Now this is a second level. So he'll see peace within him. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So he is with peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is respecting the commands, he is honoring and conforming to the commands, so therefore he'll be in peace. So at that level, every mu'min that is conforming will enjoy this type of a relationship. Then there is the third level. So the first level I showed you. Then working on that first level brings you on to the second level. And then from that second level you come and you are posted to the third level. And at that level, then Allah Ta'ala declares you, Inna awliya Allah. Allah, Inna awliya Allah. The friend of Allah Ta'ala. So one is a normal mu'min. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah Ta'ala draws him out from the depths of darknesses into light. Right? A normal person. So coming out from the depths of darknesses is again the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Of your own, you can't come out of the depths of darknesses. Otherwise you see so many people, millions and billions of people, what level of intelligence, right? But that intelligence of theirs doesn't bring them close to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't wish it for them to be in guidance. So in spite of the intelligence, in spite of them excelling in every other respect, but when Allah Ta'ala didn't wish it for them, then they couldn't come on cause. This is actually where the point where the scientist or the professor went off. See, we think and we feel that he's got a reasoning power and ability, then he should be on the right. لَوْكَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ. Because the elite of the Kufar, Quraysh, they also said the same. لَوْكَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ. The privileged class, the educated class. When they saw those that were of lesser social standing and they coming on. So their conclusion was that if there was any good in Islam, then these people wouldn't have overtaken us. We would have been the first, because we are superior in every respect, in intelligence, in influence, in our social standing, we are greater. So when we are greater, then they would have overtaken us. The fact that these people have overtaken us shows that it's not a significant thing. Now this is where the philosopher, the scientist, everyone, they got lost. See, the scientist got lost, he was lost completely. Philosopher was also somewhat lost, but not as bad as the scientist. Because the scientist, he feels that everything is my doing. My research, my investigation, my exploring, my adventuring, that I will get this. So this is how he looked at it. Why he looked at it in this manner is because there was not the concept of God in his mind. There's no concept of God. When there's no concept of God, he doesn't want to entertain that concept. So he feels that I have to do it to make it happen. So that's where the scientist went completely off. I can't do it, so there isn't. If I can find it, then there is. I can't find it, there isn't. See? So he suspended everything to his intelligence and reasoning. He had forgotten that there is a thing like God, right, that controls and that is in supreme control. He forgot about it. See? So they say that there was a scientist and a believer. Right. So both came, they were shipwrecked, and both of them landed in one island. As they came to that island, so they come across a very beautiful mansion, the ranch, very beautiful arranged trees, and fruit and flowers, very beautifully arranged. Exotic animals, birds singing and chirping away, all very, very beautifully arranged in the cages and all that. So the scientist, what he says, you know what happened? There were some sandstorms. With the sandstorms, then the heaps of sand that collected, and then there was some water that got mixed up with clay and all that, and then they became hardened. And when they became hardened into blocks, then there was another sandstorm that erected all those bricks from ground level right to the roof level. When that happened, then a lot of branches and trees that were in the island, they all chopped and broken. They formed rafters over the roof, you see. And then so forth and so on. He began to give his scientific theory. This is how it happened. So the ordinary Muslim says, now this can't happen, right? So beautiful, so well arranged. The weather conditions don't have that level of understanding to make things happen like this. So there must have been an architect, an engineer, someone planning it, the farm, the ranch, the animals, the exotic birds, all that. There must have been someone that had done the whole thing, right? So now, this is the example of that scientist. He can't find the beginning. When he can't find the beginning, he had to reduce it to something. So, when he had to reduce it and bring it to something, right, So then he forgot Allah Ta'ala. Nasullaha fanasiyahum. Because he forgot Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala left him. He disowned him. As though we say he disowned him. When he disowned him, so his intelligence also got disowned, got clouded. When that got clouded, now he began to talk about the most foolish of things. Most foolish, most stupid things he began to speak about. Why? Because he forgot Allah Ta'ala. Then he began to attribute his lineage to a monkey, whatever. But which point? At the point we get forgotten Allah Ta'ala entirely. So, Nasullaha fanasiyum. When he forgot Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala forgot him. When he forgot Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala blocked his mind. And he can't see, he can't reason any longer. So, he attributed his lineage to this. Whereas, if there was a gathering, right, any gathering, and in that gathering we see, alright, scientist so-and-so, the son of a monkey, then he will not appreciate this. We are, you know, when we're talking, we have to identify, right? We have to identify, so we identify him according to what, according to his theory. According to his understanding, we identify him. When we identify him accordingly, then he's taking it personally. So, you identifying your lineage, we are addressing you in the manner that you identifying your lineage. We don't identify with that. We identify with Adam alayhi salam. So we will attribute ourselves to Adam alayhi salam. You want to do that, you can carry on. We will not fight with you, we will not argue with you. That's your prerogative. You want to identify, you want to link up there, you carry on linking up. So I say that this is even worse than a philosopher. Philosophers of ancient times. The philosophers of ancient times, they believed in a god. Like you see Pluto and all these people here. Right? So they believed in a god. Right? But just that they said, we are so intelligent that we don't need a Nabi to guide us. The rank and the file, they need the guidance of a Nabi. And we are so advanced that to come on course, you know, we have disciplined ourselves. We have restrained our nafs. We have disciplined our nafs. We don't give to our carnal desires and our lust. So our lust and our temptation is all under control. If it's under control, then we don't require the teaching and the guidance of a Nabi. Right. Yes, those that don't have that level of discipline, then they do need the guidance of a Nabi. They don't deny the need of a Nabi. But they say the need of a Nabi is for that person who could not discipline and correct himself. That is the person who needs a Nabi. And we could control ourselves, harness our desires, etc. We could do it properly. So, a conclusion is we don't need a Nabi. We can find Allah Ta'ala independently. We don't have to go through a Nabi. So he got lost like this and he got lost in this manner. So this one is worse off. This one is also bad, but this one is worse off. Because they all got lost. From which point they got lost? They didn't realize that from this point onwards, you see, Allah Pak has kept three levels of vision. Right? The one level of vision is for you to be able to perceive physical things. So this is one sight. One light, one sight, for you to be able to perceive the physical. Right? Without this light, without this sight, you cannot perceive the physical. You don't know what is harmful, what is good. You don't know what is gold and what is metal. You can't, because you don't have the physical sight. Then the second level of light Allah Pak has given is the light of intelligence. Now that second level is higher than the first level. Because this intelligence gives you a superior level of sight. You can analyze, you can reason, you can arrive to right type of conclusions. When you got the second type of light, that is mental, intelligence, right? So now, I say this is superior because if the person cannot analyze, cannot reason, can't understand things, then you say he's mentally challenged because he can't reason. And then he is worthless, he's useless. Right? He has to be combed differently. Why? He can't reason at all. There's no reasoning ability. So this first level is great, but the second level is even greater. Now, after the second level, there is the third level of an intelligence. Right? Now, where our intelligence ends up, the point that it ends up, then the third level starts off at that point. And that level is called wahi, that level is called revelation. Right? Now that revelation, that is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala, He grants it to whomsoever He pleases. Right? So, the one that received that wahi is a Nabi. Of your own, you cannot access that wahi. You cannot get that wahi of your own. You try your own, and you want the revelation, you want to receive it, you can't get it. So this is the third level. Right. Those that will subscribe themselves, they will connect themselves to the Nabi, they will benefit from the treasure of wahi. So, now this is the ultimate that a man can reach up to. That you've passed the first, you passed the second, intelligence, now you come to wahi, right? Now wahi, everybody, Allah doesn't send down wahi to everybody. He will send it to people that are selected. But those that will connect themselves to the Nabi, they will have this type of intelligence as well, right? They will be able to decipher haram from halal. They'll be able to decipher tawheed from shirk, right? They'll be able to decipher respect from disrespect, morality and shame to indecency. They've got the ability. But now, that person that doesn't have this, then he doesn't know what is shame and what is indecency. He doesn't know it. So he thinks to himself, what's the reason for this? He doesn't know, because he doesn't benefit, he's not drawing from the treasure of wahi. So for him, his mother and his daughter will be identical. Wife, mother or daughter. Because you see, all are the same. When all are the same, then it's no problem that if I sleep with this one or that one or that one. Because he is bereft, he is deprived of the blessings and the treasure of wahi. He can't see. No connection. To that level, he's got no connection. When he's got no connection to that level, so what's the difference? Mother, sister, daughter, wife. He can't separate one from the other. He cannot say, this is right, that is wrong, this is right, that is wrong. He cannot separate one from the other. So anything will work for him, and everything will work for him. So, ulaika kal an'am, Allah speaks about them, that they are like animals. Why? Their minds have been totally blocked off from the blessings of wahi. Totally blocked off. When they're totally blocked off, so Allah shows it to you, that when you block yourself, then you'll do the most despicable of things. You can carve up a stone with your own hands and begin to take it as your deity. You can take up a monkey and worship. You can take up a snake and worship. So the most despicable things you can do. But Allah is showing it to you that when you leave me, then this is going to be your state. You will take your own urine, you will drink it as tabarruk, as barakat. Filth, you will consider as a blessing. But this, where this came about? When you clouded your intelligence entirely. And how you clouded yourself is when you disregarded Allah Ta'ala completely. So there's layers and layers of cloud. Zulumatun ba'duha fokabad, layers of darknesses, one above the other, all heaped up. There is a person, Hakim Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi, right? So, he was extremely handsome and attractive. Very muttaqi, very parizgar, but very attractive also. So, en route to the masjid, the woman would send letters. Someone is throwing a rose, someone is sending a letter, someone is sending a message. So, different ways they would try and attack him. He's muttaqi and he's attractive. So now he's going to the masjid and this is what's happening. And he would ignore everything. I'm going for a certain purpose. I'm going to just do my work. See, there'll be a lot of things happening in the world, right? So, you either subscribe to all those things or leave that out. That's why you get one wali saying, yak kar as do kar mikuni. That you have a choice to do one of these two things. Either you get yourself consumed in Allah Ta'ala altogether, completely, or then forget the thought of Allah Ta'ala. You want to get into Him, then get into Him completely, fully. Otherwise, forget the thought of linking yourself to Allah Ta'ala. How deep He must have been for him to come to this type of a conclusion, that you either come into Allah Ta'ala and connect complete. But what is this? Now you're connecting with Allah Ta'ala, a little here, a little there, the whole world you're connecting with. What he means is things that don't relate to you or don't help you in your journey to Allah Ta'ala, then forget that. This recreation, that person, this other person, what's in the internet and what's here, what's there. But it doesn't really, does it help you in your journey? If it doesn't help you in your journey, leave it out. No matter how exciting it is, leave it out. If something that really helps you in your journey reaching up to Allah Ta'ala, try and connect with that. Someone came and asked some alim that, you see, there was a dispute, you know, there was a fight. Has Ali radiallahu anhu and has Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So who was right and who was wrong? I want to know from you. So that asked him, that alim asked him, what are you, what's your profession? I'm a tailor. What's your profession? I'm a cloth merchant. You carry on tailoring and you carry on selling cloth. You're doing your tailoring and you sell your cloth. In the cupboard, they're not going to ask you about this thing here. That who was right and who was wrong, Allah Pak won't appoint you as a judge to preside. Right? You go do your tailoring and you do your cloth. Allah Pak won't going to ask you to decide. And if the farishtas do ask you to decide that who was right and wrong, say, no, Mawlana stopped us from that. Just close the door, stopped him completely. Why do you need to get involved in? It's of any benefit? Does it lead you closer to Allah Ta'ala? Does it give you a better understanding of Allah Ta'ala? So it's going to be drifting you from Allah Ta'ala. So what's the need? Rabia Basriya was so particular about this. When she heard someone cursing Shaitan, so she says, hey, if you are on cause, you wouldn't have even the need to think about Shaitan. So those moments that you are talking about Shaitan and cursing him, etc., if you could engage those moments in the zikrullah, won't that have been more beneficial for you? I'm cursing him, he did this and he did this and he did this. Right? But the same moments, if you had engaged those same moments in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, wouldn't that have been much more beneficial to you? So why do you waste your time in this manner? So there will be a lot of things that will drift you away. A lot of things. So many things. The more you will come near the Qiyamah, there's so many things. This program is happening, and this is coming live on a radio, and this person is telling this person this thing here, right? So all these things will happen. But how does it benefit you? How does it benefit you? Recently now, it's a question that's coming up quite often, you know. Why did Allah Ta'ala do this? And what was the need for this? Someone asked, oh, alright, this is going to be the day of judgment, so why are you being questioned in the grave? What he's asking? There's going to be a day of judgment, so why is Allah Ta'ala questioning you in the grave? One of the masjid I went, one bayan. So this is, alright, why didn't Allah Ta'ala give us the book of deeds? So every day we could see our records, alright. What's the hisab kitab like, you know? And during the end of the day, so you're looking at your business, your books, you're looking at it. So they don't realize they're giving their true work to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you should do this also. Allah Ta'ala, do this also. Do this. Right, where are you? Can you compare yourself against the infinite wisdom of Allah Ta'ala? Can you? Can't. So Allah Ta'ala didn't ask you to get into this. When he didn't ask you to get into it, and you're going to get into it, what's going to happen? You're going to waste your time. That thing is not going to change. Because of your question now, that why is there a reckoning here? Why there's a reckoning in the hereafter? Why didn't we get our books of deeds in our hands? We could have checked up every day how we are in the minus, in the green or in the red, how we are doing, we can correct ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala will not change his whole procedure because of your suggestion. When he's not going to change your procedure, then what's the need for you to go and labor like this uselessly? No, he's not going to change. Now, all the masjid, we got together, say, now let's protest against the government, you know. They're asking us now to drive on the right. If you mustn't drive on the right, center, drive all the center. Central part is the best part. Now, is the government going to change the policy? They're not going to change the policy. Why? You want to move to your destination, just listen and carry on. So why must you stress about this? Unnecessarily. Now you're stressing, alright, why Allah Pak made you a man? Why not a woman? So are you going to get anywhere? I ask you, are you going to get anywhere? And I could have been a woman, so nice to feel pregnant, to get morning sickness and all that. You know, how nice would it have been? So I don't go through this thing here. I ask you, if you do all that, will you be transformed into a woman? Or someone says, alright, no, I'm a man now. I have to toil so much. I could have been just one sheep, you know. Time of Bakri, I could just eat all the time. Bakri time, they slaughter me and they eat me breathless. And end of the story. Now I have to work so hard, all this. I have to go through this Magaj Mari every day, you know. For so many years, then death will come, cover. I could have just been a sheep. Now if you're stressed like this, is you going to be transformed into a sheep? But it's not going to happen, so don't uselessly employ your mind in this thing. And I say this is not new. This is, in the old also the same thing happened. لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا. The kuffar in the past, what the kuffar did today, the Muslims are doing it. What they said, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا. You know, the malaika must come straight to us and tell us, do this and don't do this. We don't need a man to come and tell us. Malaika must come and tell us. Malaika now, Jibreel Islam himself is so big, just his two wings will cover the entire universe. Now, you can't tolerate that scene. You can't manage that. So how do you want the malaika to come and warn you? How do you want the malaika to come and convey the message of Allah Ta'ala? You just carry on like how Allah Ta'ala has commanded. Someone said, no, you must be able to see the malaika directly. Someone said, no, Allah Pak must see us. You must see Allah Ta'ala. Oh, nara rabbana. Arina Allah jaharatan. Must see Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak must tell us directly. He must come and tell us. Is the system of Allah Ta'ala going to change for you, for your suggestions? It's not going to change. When the system of Allah Ta'ala is not going to change, the right thing is just move with the flow. Allah Ta'ala created you in a certain manner, so you just move with that. That is not going to be changed, not going to be adjusted because of your suggestions. So when it's not going to be changed because of your suggestions, then just move on. Don't you see now that the government, every country, international law, they give you a tax, right? They charge you tax. Can you protest against it? Can you object? You just have to carry on paying. Otherwise, they'll tell you, go look for another country to go and live. Right? But you pay the tax, then you go. You can't go without paying the tax. But the money you made here, you pay all that, then you go. So you can't change, you can't mutilate, you can't adjust the law of any country. When you can't change it, then just live with it and carry on. So, when you can't do it for a man, then how are you going to do it for Allah Ta'ala? How are you going to change His law? He's got a system. He's created you, He's made a certain system, don't stress. So all types of questions they're asking, it looks like they've got nothing to do, see. So when they've got nothing to do, all type of questions, someone asks now, why is three talaqs valid? So I tell him, you know what, this whole discussion comes in this kitab here, in Arabic, go and look at it yourself. And if you are not well versed in Arabic, go and study the whole course, and then you'll appreciate the whole discussion. You'll appreciate. Now today I'll tell you about three talaqs. Tomorrow you'll ask something about why mustn't I read Surah Fatiha behind the Imam. Then the third question you'll ask, why mustn't I lift my hands like how others do? And the fourth question, why mustn't I say Ameen loudly? So this thing is going to continue. But you want to study it, you want to know about it, very good. But go and study the whole course. Go and study the whole course and you'll see for yourself afterwards. Why are we doing this and why he's not doing this? And if you don't have the time, then just listen to me. Because you depended on the translations for whatever you are saying. So you depend on me for what I am saying. If you can rely on him, then why don't you rely on me? See, the information is increasing, but the level of understanding and reasoning is definitely dropping. There may be more information. A person speaks so nice, so eloquent. And he can express his argument so well. That is increasing, yes, that we won't dispute that. But the level of understanding and reasoning, really, I can say you, without doubt, it is definitely dropping. They don't have the ability to reason correctly, understand, analyze, look at situations and come to right conclusion. They don't have that ability. Narrow-sighted. That is why in the past, there was less crime. A man could see, alright, you know, go on this direction, what's going to be the consequence? Now he says, oh, just make the maja, just enjoy it. Just do it now. We'll see about it later on. That is why you see there's so many victims of AIDS. Right? He said, let's do it. Later on we'll see about it. So there's a short-term gratification. They are looking at the long-term consequence, what's going to happen later on. So we're talking of this Hakim Tirmizi Rahmatullahi, and this woman is pursuing him all the time. Intelligence is that you look at the long term, short term and long term. So what's going to happen now? What's going to happen in everything that is related to deen, everything that is related to Allah Ta'ala, you look at the long term. Things about your personal life, personal security, they look at the short term. Alright, what I need, a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, a little bit of my veg, etc., I can carry on. So for your personal needs, look at the short term. And for the permanent needs, look at the long term. If I'm going to do this, this is going to happen in the qabr. This is going to happen in the akhirat. I'll get jammed up here, I'll get jammed up there. So, if for my permanent needs, for my continuous eternal needs, that I'll look for an eternal plan. But my short term needs, I got this, I got a small shelter, I got bread, I got whatever other essentials I got, I can carry on. I don't need to look for a permanent solution. Permanent solution for the permanent life. Temporary solution for a temporary life. Now, we're trying to look for a permanent solution for the temporary life and a temporary solution for the permanent life. See how the whole brain is going in reverse. A temporary solution for the permanent life and a permanent solution for the temporary life. Did you see anybody investing in the akhirat like how he's supposed to be invested? Did you see anybody? Some awliya we have, right? We're not talking of them. That they are looking for permanent solutions. But other than them, do you look for anybody that look for permanent solutions in their lives? They're looking for permanent solutions for temporary needs. So we come back to this Hakim Tirmizi Rahmatullahi. And he's being pursued by this woman. Right? And he's escaping them. He knows what he's here for. So he goes straight to the masjid, perform his namaz, go back. Now, en route to the masjid, he has to go through one orchard. As he's passing through that orchard, now, a woman locked up the gates. The gates are about 7 feet, 2.5 meters long. So she locked up the gates on both ends, and the woman says, you better see to me. You locked up from all sides. So he got such a shock, see the permanent need in his mind was at such a level. So he didn't want to risk that. So he's got such a shock that he scaled the 2.5 meter fence. One shot he scaled it. And you ask Mawlana Ismail, see, it's a reality. Ask him. And when someone tried to intrude, right, he just fired a shot. Person that intruding, 3 meters, he just scaled straight intruded. So if a person has got so much of concern about a temporary life, that will prompt him to do that. A little will push so strongly in him that it will make him do something that is practically impossible. So if the concern of the akhirat was so great, then he also, his adrenaline will push him to such a level that for him to scale that fence will be nothing. Just scale the fence straight away. So the fear of Allah Ta'ala was so firmly entrenched into his heart that to scale the 2.5 meter fence was nothing as a play for him. Anyway, that happened. Now, comes to his old age, when he's aging up, now he's to round up and go away from this world. Now one thought is coming to his mind, in that youth of mine, I was young and bubbly and strong, and this girl had made this type of an approach, and I hurt her so badly, I just refused her blankly and just jumped and went away. So I broke her heart. And breaking a heart, what a crime it is, irreparable crime. They say, jirahatul lisan laha iltiyamu. Jirahatul sinan laha iltiyamu. That if you hurt someone physically, you can fix it up. Physical abuse, you can still fix it up. But mental abuse, you can't fix it up. For years, it will be stuck in your mind. This person abused me mentally. Mentally he had abused me, insulted me. So you can't forget that. Physical abuse, you can forget it. The teacher must have hit you when you were in school, right? Now you forget it. You say, you know, I needed that discipline. What do you say that? I needed that correction. But if someone abused you mentally, he disgraced you, he insulted you, do you forget that? But this person, what business he had to talk to me in this manner? He had no business to talk to me about in this manner. So you don't forget that. So anyway, now he's old and he's aged. And he's thinking to himself, you know, that was mental abuse. That this woman here, she had pleaded to me. And you know, in what frame of mind she could have been to be pleading to me in this manner. I could have just acceded to her request. Would have just given in, do whatever I needed to do, round up, make toba, Allah Ta'ala would have corrected the whole thing. So I would have corrected the relationship with the woman, and my connection with Allah Ta'ala would also have been corrected. Both ways I would have been going normally, peacefully. But why did I have to behave in this manner? That I just scaled the fence and I ignored the girl completely. You know, what hurt I brought to her. So now, when that type of thought began to run through his mind, he got shaken up. He's thinking to himself, how can I think like this? When I was young, right, and everything was very energetic in me, then I scaled the fence. Now I'm old and about to leave, then this type of haram thoughts are coming to my mind. These haram thoughts are crowding my mind when I'm about to leave the world. How can this happen to me? Anyway, when this type of thoughts began to run and crowd his mind, he went to sajda, begging Allah's forgiveness. You know, Allah, I'm messing it up. I'm at my old age, the final stages of my life, about to leave this world here, and this type of haram thoughts are crowding my mind. Allah, you forgive me for it. Crying. In that stage, he just slept away. Now he sees Rasulullah Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasulullah Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hugs him, right? And now he sees now this person is in a very, very frantic state, in a state of extreme depression. In the youth, I was so energetic and so defensive of my iman. And now in my old age, as I'm rounding up to leave this world, then this type of haram thoughts are crowding my mind. So that means whatever I've done in the past, everything is washed away. I don't have any defense mechanism left now. You know, my spiritual defense are all down. So Nabi Sam told him, no, your status is still the same. Your position has not been lost. Now, but mentally he's trying to figure out, but alright, if I'm alright, you know, my deen is alright, then why is it that I have capsized completely? There I put all my defense to protect myself, and here I can't guard myself. Why is it? It happens to people. They have fluctuations, right? In spirituality, you have fluctuations. When you start off zikr, then you want to cry and all that. After a few months and all that, crying kifiyat all goes away. When it goes away, then you say, hey, now, you know, I lost everything. When I started off, there was so much of vigor, there was so much of spirit in my work. And now, that so many years have passed now, or so many days have passed now, that is lost. So my imani kifiyat is going down. Imani kifiyat is not going down. Rather now, what has happened is you are in a second level of your spirituality. The first level was new. You just encountered it, right? It was the first encounter. In the first encounter, there's a lot of emotional and excitement. Like in a marriage, right? First encounter is a lot of excitement. There's a lot of excitement. Now, 10, 12 years into the marriage, the excitement that you had when you just got married, just mature, and the excitement, do you get that type of excitement after 20 years? After 40 years? You don't get that. But can you say that your love and affinity with the family has decreased? The affinity and the love is still there, but the kayfiyat have all changed. Then the kayfiyat was different, now the kayfiyat is different. Then the feelings were different, now the feelings are different. So now, you don't gauge your affinity on the feelings. The mistake is we judge our relationship and our affinity with Allah Ta'ala with the feelings. So the feelings is not the gauge. The gauge is amal. How strong and how firmly are you on the sunnah? On the Quran Sharif, namaz, zikr, everything on time. Restraining yourself from wrong, going towards the right. How strong are you in that regards? So don't gauge yourself with the feelings. See, these people that went into Sima, Kavali and all that, this is how they went wrong. Because in the Kavali and Sima, there's a lot of feelings. You feel very great. Someone is giving you a number, you know, in the Ishq Rasul now. You feel so high about it. You feel so elated. You feel now my iman has gone so high, so high. Right? So that's not the gauge. If that was the gauge, the Quran would have said, listen to Kavali and Sima, and you'll get your iman all spiraled so high. You don't find one verse in the Quran, or one hadith which will say, that listen to all the singing and you'll get your iman all in place. Right. So anyway, Nabi Sam comforted him and explained to him that your iman is still the same. Your deeds are still the same, you haven't lost out. But now the question comes about, then why in my youth I was so active, I was so energetic, and I was so defensive, so protective of my iman. Now I've come to my old age and this type of thoughts are all crowding my mind. Why is it? So Nabi Sam explained to him, you see, when you were young, that zamana is about 60 years away, right? When that 60 years away you were so much closer to the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You were so much closer to the Noor of Nubuwwat. You were so much closer to the time of Nubuwwat. When you were so much closer to the time of Nubuwwat, the light of Nubuwwat had shone onto you with greater strength. Now you're so much distance, 60 years in time. So the Noor is not like as strong as what it was 60 years ago. The Noor is still there, but it isn't like what it was when it was 60 years ago. So therefore now, you're getting this type of thoughts. When you were 60 years backwards, these thoughts wouldn't crowd your mind. Now 60 years into time, now you're seeing it, but not as clear as you saw it then. So anyway, we're talking of this Noor, see. Now this Noor, we're talking of this Noor, the question that will come about is, well, the fact is this, that this Noor that a mu'min enjoys is in proportion to his commitment. How committed, how loyal, how faithful you are to Allah Ta'ala, that will be the strength of that Noor. In one thing they call it kulli mushaki, is one thing, but the different people will enjoy it at their levels. And Nabi will enjoy it at his level, an ordinary Muslim will enjoy it at his level, a Sahabi at his level, a Wali at his level. So everybody will enjoy it, but they will enjoy the same Noor at their levels. And the levels will be judged according to your commitment, your loyalty, how regular, how consistent you are. Then that will be the level of the Noor that you will enjoy. You just come in today, you can't expect that level of Noor that was experienced by that person who's there already 50 years. Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki. Now this type of concept you'll only understand with illustrations, right? Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullahi, he is one of the awliya that comes in our silsila, right? So many of these awliya, they lived a life of poverty, right? And nobody would discover the constraints that they would go through. They will not mention it. Not in passing, not in any way. Nobody knows about it. Allah Pak knows it, it's enough. And they would prefer that time of life. Now, he has got a guest coming in at an awkward time. Now, for their own personal selves, they will not beg, they will not take a loan, they will not take any facility for their personal needs. But now they got a guest. They understand that guest has come for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. When he's come for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then I need to honor him. No matter who he is, what background he's coming from. But he's coming to me for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then I need to honor him. Now I got nothing to offer him. Man has come in, but I've got absolutely nothing. Home is totally empty. I don't even have atta to make a decent piece of roti and give it to him. Nothing. So he's pacing the floor. One side to the other side. One end to the other end. Worried or concerned that this man is coming to my house. I got nothing to offer him. What do I do? So in that state of anxiety, the cook that was living next door, Nanbai they call him, right? The Nanbai, he was living across. He saw all this. So he understood that something has happened. for this Buzruk to become so worried. So he figured out maybe someone has come in and there's nothing in the house. Right. So he prepared some food nicely, properly, correctly in a tray and he offered it. Anyway, the Buzruk got very happy, he fed his guest. Now he's excited that my guest, at least this person here, saved the occasion. I'm not embarrassed in the presence of my guest. He's come for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I'm not embarrassed. I didn't leave him in a state of hunger. I'm talking about those years where you don't find steers and McDonald's, or you don't find all these things, right? Nothing. You have to, if anybody comes, you have to see the person, right? So he's thinking to himself, what he's done for me, how much I repay him? And he's begging Allah Ta'ala, man has seen me, right? And I must repay him. Whatever he says, so Allah Ta'ala answers the dua. When Allah Ta'ala answers the dua, so he asks this nanbai, the cook that was living opposite, he asks him, "Mang to kya mangta hai? What are you requesting? Ask. Because whatever you're asking for, because I've already made a dua to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has already answered my request. So what do you request? What do you ask for? What do you desire?" The cook is sharp now. He says, When I struck the right moment, I must strike, and I must strike full, not half. Bas tu mujhe apne hi tarah bana de. Make me like yourself. What he asked? The highest level of Nur now. The wali, and he's the wali of the time. You can imagine the level, the charge, the charge that he's got. Right? Like you got one small little bulb, right? And you're asking for a spotlight, a small little bulb. You're asking for that 1,000 voltage. What will happen to the light? Fuse up, isn't it? So you got small little bulb here, and you're asking for 100,000 voltage. That Buzruk got 100,000 voltage is enough to cover the whole world, like whole town of Durban, right? That type of voltage he's got. And he's got a small little bulb, he's asking for a connection. What's going to happen? That Buzruk is explaining, "Bhai, you're not going to be able to manage this." He said, "You see, your word is your honor." He's reminding him, "You said, you told me, whatever you ask for, you'll get it. Mang tujhe kya mangna, tu kya mangta hai? Whatever you ask for, you'll get it." Buzruk said, "But you won't be able to handle this thing here. Please ask for something else." No, your word. So he took him in the room and kept on making dua. As both of them left the room, you couldn't make out who's Khaja Bakhtiar Kaki and you couldn't make out who's the cook. Identical. That spirituality came to such a level that outwardly both of them looked identical. You couldn't distinguish, couldn't separate him from them. But it so happened that this cook, he took a few steps, he collapsed and he died. Because the current was too much, like I told you, 100,000 voltage in a small little bulb here, what's going to happen? But what a great honor that he lived as a cook and he died as a Bakhtiar Kaki. He lived as a cook his whole life, and perhaps Allah Ta'ala wanted to honor him, so he died as Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullahi. So we're talking of this Nur, right? This light, we're talking of this charge. Now, how do you find this type of a charge? You want the charge to improve all the time. And why you need it to improve all the time is, all of us know, and we believe, as we are progressing in age, we are closer and closer to the grave. So we want the light of the grave. We want the comfort of the grave. We want the companionship of the grave. We want the weather conditions to be right. Right? We want the light conditions to be right. We want the company to be right. Everything to be favorable in the grave. Isn't that a fact? And don't we believe that we are nearing? Don't we understand? Don't we believe that we are nearing? So we want that to improve all the time. When you want it to improve all the time, then there must be a place and a person, a place and a person where we can get that type of a voltage, that type of a charge. So the Quran Sharif knows our needs. Allah Pak knows our needs. He knows it better than we know it. So he's given a full illustration. How do you get it? Where do you get it? في بيوت أذين الله أن ترفع ويذكر في اسم in homes where Allah Ta'ala has commanded that they be raised with honor. They raised be honor. In other words, those places will be kept with honor and his name is taken in abundance. So one is the masjid, right? And one is the place where Allah Ta'ala's name is being taught. You instructed in the name of Allah Ta'ala. They are teaching you, they are instructing you, they are encouraging you about Allah Ta'ala. Where it be it a masjid, be it a madrasa, be it any other place where they are encouraging you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even women are advised that you have one place in your home. One place in the home, you allocate it for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Zikr, Quran Sharif, Tilawat, Namaz, one spot in the house. And preferably that spot that is most concealed. Nobody can see you. You are most concealed. إِذِنْ تَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا Maryam alayhi salam, she wanted to seclude herself. It's a very secluded spot within the house. One is, in our homes, we've got a lounge, right? It's a most exposed place, most open place. Right? The dining room also is an exposed place, right? The kitchen also is a multi-purpose room, right? But one is your bedroom, and perhaps in your bedroom, nowadays they got another small room where they put all the clothing, what they call it. Closet, yeah. Nobody comes there. Most concealed. Now you, hum or hamare mahbub, I and my beloved. Nobody is seeing you, you are not seeing anybody. It is only Allah Ta'ala and nobody else. Such a concealed place, right? No disturbance. You put all the phones off, everything is cut off. So it's just you and Allah Ta'ala. So a woman also should have a spot in the house where she is dedicated, devoted to Allah Ta'ala all the time. A man can be using the same spot, but he's got the chance of coming to the masjid and using the spot in his home. It doesn't have to be just one spot, it can be two spots. Now if your wife wants to use the spot and you want to use the spot, what's going to happen? Tahajjud time, now you can't come to the masjid. Right? But you have to do your thing. So read Quran, Sharif, Zikr and all that. But you need to have a spot in the home. So a place you reserve only for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. A good start, right? Not much time, I want to talk about this subject. But a good start for us is that we say to ourselves, alright, I want this relationship. So we come for the namaz at least 10-15 minutes before the time. Now in that, because we've got a very busy life, busy is business, etc., all everything is running in our minds, right? We came 15 minutes before the namaz, made wuzu everything in namaz, or in the namaz spot, making some zikr, some istighfar, some remembrance of the akhirat, some remembrance of the qabr, right? So mentally we are in a state of conversing to Allah Ta'ala, relating to the akhirat. But we just darted from the business, made wuzu, came straight to the masjid. Did we give our minds a chance to just adjust? We didn't give it our minds. So we start off with this.